This is Cincinnati Edition. On 91.7 WVXU, I'm Michael Monks. Have you booked a short-term rental through sites like Airbnb? What did you think? The site is popular with consumers and property owners who use it to make money, but local governments had mixed reviews. So let's discuss. Joining Cincinnati Edition today are Cincinnati Vice Mayor David Mann, who is proposing a short-term rental ordinance. Welcome, Dave.
Good to be here.
Edgewood, Kentucky, City Administrator Brian Daner. That city has banned short-term rentals. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you, Michael.
Florence City Coordinator Josh Weiss. Florence is currently creating regulations for Airbnb rentals. Welcome, Josh. Margie Waller is a resident of Over the Rhine and a member of the Coalition for Sensible Short-Term Rental Policy. Welcome, Margie.
Thank you.
And on the phone is Chris Heichel. He's an operator of Airbnb Rentals. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks for having us.
If you'd like to join in on the conversation or share your experiences with Airbnb or short-term rentals or your concerns that you might have about the practice, give us a call, 513-419-7100. You can also email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets and try to get those in the show as well. Chris, I want to start with you because you operate some Airbnb rentals. How many do you have?
Sure. So in our group right now, we're a group of 63 sharing economy small business owners, and our goal is to partner with the city to create a common sense regulatory framework that arrives at an outcome that's fair to small businesses, but also good outcomes for city and its neighborhoods.
So you're a group of 63 rental units?
No. I'm here representing a group of 63 other small business owners.
I gotcha. So how many Airbnb rental units do you personally operate?
I have fewer than five.
Fewer than five. Okay, so what's the process that you go through in order to be able to host?
Well, you've got to have a property that you can legally rent out. You have to furnish it, provide a good, set of supplies for the guests. And then ultimately, you have to go onto the Airbnb platform, register. You have to provide valid ID so that they can do a background check. And then once that's complete, you can open your place up to people.
And Margie, you're a resident of Over the Rhine. You're part of a group called the Coalition for Sensible Short-Term Rental Policy. You said in a video that you produced, I guess you've counted 14 Airbnb units within half a block of your home. Why does that concern you?
Because, and actually the number is probably higher than that, but that's what I knew for sure. It's concerning because that means that instead of having neighbors who participate in our community council, who helped elect the officials who make decisions about my neighborhood, who are there when we are doing street fairs and neighborhood events, I have empty rooms some of the time, and the rest of the time I have perfectly nice but strangers. And it's disconcerting to have so many empty spaces around us. In Over the Rhine, in Cincinnati, about 60% of the listings on Airbnb are in Over the Rhine. So it really is mostly about what's happening in Over the Rhine.
So isn't there an argument that this brings tourists to the Over the Rhine economy to spend money and to maybe attract more tourists down the road?
That's certainly the argument that the investors in the hotel units that are surrounding me are making. However, there's no evidence at all those people wouldn't come anyway and stay in hotels downtown and then make their way to Over the Rhine. That's what lots of other people do.
And Vice Mayor Mann,
there actually is a lot of evidence to support the notion that they wouldn't come otherwise. Increasingly, surveys show that people want the accommodations of a private accommodation as opposed to a hotel. And particularly when you look at the cost differential between hotels and short-term rentals, a lot of folks who stay at my place, for sure, I can tell you would not be staying at a hotel.
Well, Chris, expand on that for us then. What would you say is the difference in rates between those who might stay at your rental units compared to something in the Central Business District, a more traditional hotel?
Yeah, so think of yourself as a family of four that's going on a vacation, let's say April vacation, since we're in April now. You're going to have to get two hotel rooms at probably $250 a night apiece, so $500 a night, versus you can stay in one of my units for $150 a night.
That, of course, has to be balanced against the experience of people who have invested in and are living in a neighborhood. You know, we are the residents. I have lived in Over the Rhine now since 2012. I bought a home, an empty building, and I renovated it myself. I did not expect to be surrounded by illegal hotel rooms.
Okay. Chris and Margie, government officials never get the chance to speak, so let's bring them into the conversation as well. Vice Mayor Mann, you first brought some legislation forward last fall. You're doing it again. What are the rules in Cincinnati currently? Margie just said illegal hotel rooms. Is there no regulation?
Full disclosure, I'm not vice mayor. I was vice mayor last term.
I made that same mistake last time. Pete, the producer, is shaking his head at me for getting that wrong.
Anyway, it's not a big deal. I'm chair of the Budget and Finance Committee instead. There's no regulation. Some of the units are being operated in buildings that, because of those operations, should be properly classified as hotels. But my concerns, just let me explain. Number one, I think Marjorie's absolutely right. The thought that she has to deal with 14 sets of neighbors who rotate around daily or weekly or weekend-wise does change her neighborhood, number one. Number two, we have a severe affordable housing crisis in Cincinnati. The more of the rental housing market that's converted to B&Bs, the fewer rental units we have. And let's be clear. Chris is mentioning that he gets $300 a night for two units on a weekend. That's a lot of money. He's making a lot more money than he makes did make as a landlord. So the incentive is for more and more B&Bs to appear, and they are. The numbers are increasing exponentially. At the end of 2018, there were 700 units in Cincinnati. A couple of years ago, it was under 200. So that's happening. Thirdly, there's virtually no safety regulation. The city doesn't know where these units are. And so, number one, I'm concerned about the growth. Number two, I'm concerned about safety. Number three, many communities around the country typically have viewed Airbnbs as an opportunity to assess a tax. And I've been proposing a 7% tax on revenues, which is still a pretty good deal. Hotels pay something like 17% if you add everything up. So, yeah, I believe that regulation is appropriate. I've met a lot with Chris and his group. We agree on a lot of things. They propose that there be a 7% tax. Where we're having a little pushback with each other right now is they want to self-certify that their units are safe, even though they might be operating in a 6-unit, 8-unit building, and said, don't worry, we're safe. We comply with the building and housing and fire codes. That can be problematic.
Brian Daner, you're the city administrator in Edgewood, Kentucky, one of the finest places to live in all of Kentucky, according to multiple websites. Apparently not a great place if you want a short-term rental, though, because your city decided to ban them. Why is that?
So we didn't outright ban the short-term rentals. We still allow, if you're a homeowner occupied, to rent out 25% of your property.
But the homeowner has to be on site.
So what you hear is a lot of the arguments of why we didn't want it. Edgewood is a typical bedroom community with residential homes that were built for families, families of two people to a large house of six people. When they talk about cheaper rates than a hotel room, they talk about numbers, okay? So he didn't tell you what the cost of a hotel room was versus his. He talked about the fact if you bring 6, 8, 10, 12 people to the residence, he can get the cost down on a per unit basis. That's what was happening in Edgewood. We had a house that was there that was built for probably 4 to 6 people as a family, and they were putting 15 people in the house. That's how it gets cheaper. So we looked at that and said, our residential streets that were built for homes of families to live in, we didn't think that was acceptable. But we also believe that if you are a homeowner and you occupy the space, you should have the right to rent out some of that space while you're occupying it.
Josh, if I remember from high school, you're from Edgewood. I don't remember any 12 people house parties in Edgewood, but I guess things have changed in the 20 years.
Those were the field parties.
But now you're the city coordinator in Florence, and your city doesn't necessarily have a direct regulation for this yet. You're in the early stages of crafting something. What does this process look like for you?
So currently in Boone County, short-term rentals, which we define under 30 days, are actually not permitted anywhere in the city of Florence. As a large suburban community, large residential, very diverse residential community, large business community, we are looking at best practices out there of what the larger cities like City of Cincinnati are doing to the bedroom communities, as Brian described it, of Edgewood. And starting that public hearing process of what is that happy balance and something that policy-wise that works for the city of Florence.
So Florence is a huge central area for hotels, and there are more hotels even in the pipeline. It seems there's always something new coming out there in terms of accommodation. So is there concern about differently regulated competition, such as short-term rentals?
I think that's one of the issues. I think what we find, because we are a center of commerce in that central location, we have a lot of families who may be doing a weekend vacation and wanting to find something where they can stay and easily travel to a Cincinnati area, south of Florence, maybe to Indiana, and they are looking for those opportunities where they don't have to stay in a traditional hotel.
We got an email from Cliff. He says he is a short-term rental host that has been to both the Budget and Finance Committee meetings on this subject and makes two points. He says, one, while there has been talk of consultation with STR host, STR being short-term rental host, on the subject, the results have been poor. Councilmember Mann yesterday said to me that the current proposal was discussed with the leaders of a group of hosts that I am a member of when those same persons were sitting in the audience about to testify in opposition to it. Clearly, there was some listening not happening. Point two, proposed regulations and discussions about STR continue to harp on anecdotal and generic reports of illegal behavior, such as noise complaints. Councilman Mann, I'll let you respond to that.
Well, there have been complaints along the lines that was being talked about in Edgewood. Some houses were being promoted as sort of party central, rent it for the weekend and come have a good time. This happened in Mount Adams, and there were certainly some complaints. So we don't want that to happen. And one of the aspects of the legislation I proposed would revoke a license if there was a series of documented complaints of the owner not monitoring what was happening. You know, it's true that at the end of the day, after all the consultation in the world, as I think I mentioned, we disagree. Operators would like to self-certify that their operations are safe. Well, that's fine, but there's a reason we have fire codes and building codes and experts that can tell you whether you've complied with what's required, whether it's smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, egress and ingress in the case of fire, and those kinds of things. And, you know, by the way, I personally like Airbnbs. I use them. A week and a half ago, I was in Chicago. I spent a weekend in a basement apartment. It was much cheaper than a hotel, much nicer. We had a kitchen. But I have no idea whether it was safe. I tried to figure it out, but it's not easy if you're not familiar with the building. The building had three sets of boilers, three sets of hot water heaters. Our accommodations were right next to the room with all that stuff. I hope. I mean, I'm here, so maybe it was safe. But, you know, things happen, and that's the reason we have building codes and fire codes, so that it's less likely that they'll happen. And there's a difference between renting an apartment where the tenant is there for a year and perhaps longer, and someone who's a stranger to a city spends a weekend in a strange structure and has no understanding, perhaps, what the safe route out is.
Chris, I'd like to get your perspective on how people can be more confident that the accommodations are safe.
Well, I think it's a bit more nuanced than Councilmember Mann is letting on. All of the properties that are currently engaging in short-term rentals have certificates of occupancy from the city buildings and inspections department today. The challenge is that what Councilmember Mann is spending his time arguing and spent 3 hours in the council chamber arguing yesterday is that if you want to take your home that you currently live in or that a renter currently lives in or that is already certified to be safe by buildings and inspections and open it up as a short-term rental, you actually have to go through a code change from R1 to R2 to R1. R1 is hotel building code. So you would actually have to rip out all of your walls and install fireproof walls, all of your floors and install fireproof insulation, all of your ceilings and install new plumbing fixtures known as automatic fire suppression. And these things would cost the average home $250,000 to $500,000. It's not feasible or possible. And given that there hasn't been a single recorded safety issue yet, it's also not necessary. So it's not that anyone in our group is opposed to safety regulations. We're very in favor of common sense safety regulations. But the particular regulations being proposed were written by the hotel industry to try to put us out of business. And you know, what this really is, it's a masquerade.
Chris, I don't know what you're talking about. First of all, I listened most of the 3 hours. I didn't talk, with all respect. Secondly, Mr. Dahlberg was the head of buildings and inspections, was describing the code that exists, which is a state building code that he is required to apply and enforce. Nothing that I'm proposing changes any applicable code. And as you well know, for 1, 2, and 3 unit buildings, my legislation doesn't require any new certificates of occupancy or certificates of compliance. We permit self-certification. When you go beyond 3 units under the state codes that apply, these are not deemed merely residences. They're deemed buildings that have a transient occupation population, and the rules become very different. And if you want to say until we have a fire, there's no concern about safety, with all respect, that's not terribly logical.
All right. Hang on just a moment. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We're talking short-term rentals and Airbnb today. We're joined by Cincinnati Councilman David Mann, Edgewood, Kentucky City Administrator Brian Daner, Florence City Coordinator Josh Weiss, Margie Waller, a resident of Over the Rhine and a member of the Coalition for Sensible Short-Term Rental Policy. And on the phone is Chris Heichel. He's an operator of Airbnb rentals. The number to call is 513-419-7100. Email talk at WVXU if you'd like to join in. Let's get to the phones. Patrick is on the line. Hey, Patrick, how are you?
Doing good. I wanted to comment on this. Me and my wife, we do enjoy the environment down over the Rhine in Covington, and so we do participate in the Airbnbs. And we find that as an economic benefit because one, if we're going out of town and we're going to a hotel, it's costing us more money, and then we don't actually get to necessarily participate in the local food and venues as well as retail. So for us to do that, being a suburb coming from Fairfield, it's a short trip, it's economically supportive, and I do support having Airbnbs available. But I also want to take a look at the safety aspect, if there's a possibility of a quarterly inspection to ensure that some of these places are up to code. We usually deal with the premium locations. So that's what's coming on.
Patrick, thanks for the call and the comment. Next on the line is Anthony. Hey, Anthony, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
Doing well. What's your question or comment?
My comment was to the lady that says that she lives on a street with all vacant residents around her.
Margie here in the studio with us, yes.
Yes. I can understand her feeling, but I'm sure those vacant homes have been renovated and are beautiful. It's better to live next to a vacant home that is beautiful than a boarded up home. That being said, I work with and renovate homes in Over the Rhine, and I live there. I go to the meetings. I renovate homes with Marilyn and Martin, and I can tell you that if we ever pulled out of Over the Rhine and we run some Airbnbs, you would have boarded up homes, and you would see vacant properties. And Over the Rhine would be dog houses again. So don't push us, because that's exactly what would happen.
All right, Anthony, we appreciate the call. We'll give Margie the opportunity to answer that.
So thank you for that, because this is an important point. And David Mann referenced it briefly just a minute ago. What we've heard from realtors is that because, as he pointed out, Chris is making a lot more money renting to short-term rental than he would on a month-to-month basis. They can sell properties to future Airbnb owners, investors, and properties for Airbnb at a higher cost than they would sell to an owner or to someone who is simply going to rent month to month or annually. That's pushing up prices in Over the Rhine for both homeowners and for renters, and it's pushing people out of the neighborhood and keeping people out who might be there otherwise. I would much rather see our prices come down, frankly, and the value of my own home come down so that we would have real neighbors and a more diverse group of people could move into the neighborhood.
You take a hit to your bottom line in order for this.
I'm happy to, yes. Okay.
And Brian, you heard
all of this presumes that when you're comparing apples to apples rent from a regular rental and a short-term rental, that they're the same thing. When you have a short-term rental, it's actually a business. You have operating costs. You're actively involved in running and managing it. It's not the same thing as having a long-term rental. I have both, trust me, I know. With a long-term rental, you might have to get involved in something once every 2 or 3 months other than collecting the rent check. With a short-term rental, you're involved every single day. You're either cleaning it, flipping it, getting it ready for the next guest, or you're paying someone to do that, in which case you're managing staff.
Chris, are you trying to say that you're making less money than, I mean, why not just rent it full-time if you're not making any more money?
What I'm saying is that I'm running a business. So the presumption and the argument that you and Councilmember Mann are making is, hey, every investor in the world wants to get involved in short-term rentals. Every investor in the world sees the profit. But the reality is that investment, for the most part, for most people and what they want and why they do it, is because they want a passive activity. They don't want to own a business, and they don't want to manage and run a business. It's not accurate to say that there's this whole flock of investors who want to get involved in Airbnb, and the growth rate of Airbnb in Cincinnati doesn't justify that either.
Brian, you heard the earlier call of a guy from Fairfield, you know, yeah, within the metropolitan area, coming down to Covington or over the Rhine and staying. As a city that has, I guess, partially banned, you require that it can be a room in a house where a homeowner is present. Are you worried about missing out on some of those dollars or visits?
No, I don't. I think on a regional basis, that person coming from Fairfield could easily find a hotel room that is reasonable cost that they could come down and still enjoy what's being provided in Cincinnati. When they talk about the safety issues, the gentleman that was on the phone says, I'm running a business, okay? On a residential street in a residential neighborhood, we would not allow you to open your business, right? What if we allowed them to open a restaurant in that same house and we said, oh, by the way, we're not going to let the health department come in and look at it and make you comply with all of it. You're just going to cook like mom used to cook or how we used to walk through and grab food out of plates and do all that and do it. They're not doing that. They need to comply. They don't comply. And we need to make sure that there are safety issues because they're bringing a lot of people into the neighborhood.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. We have Melinda on the line. We got to go quick, just about a minute or so left. What's your question? Hey, Melinda, are you there?
Oh, yes. Hello.
Hi. That's okay.
Hi. So I, like Margie, live in Over the Rhine and have since 2008. In 2012, we bought an old home, my husband and I, and have been restoring it top to bottom. And we started about 3 years ago doing Airbnb in the back two rooms of our house, which were the old servants' quarters. And it's financed so many important projects, painting the house, for example, all kinds of things we've done to it.
So you were able to offset some of the costs of your restoration by renting out the rooms?
Yeah, exactly. And it's such an incredible opportunity to meet people from all over the world. We've had people from over 400 countries, all over the United States and nearby. Place people coming in to do all kinds of things, and I get to meet them, talk with them, help with their experience. I share a ton of history about our home in Pendleton over the Rhine. So my question is, for situations like ours, where we're homeowners hosting, what kind of impact will this have on us? And in general, I do support the idea of these kind of Airbnb platforms because it is
Okay, we got about 30 seconds.
I just want to – the Short-Term Rental Coalition supports that kind of true home sharing where the resident lives in the home for more than half the year. That is fine.
Okay, I think I've got quick call from Lucinda. Are you there, Lucinda? Let's say she's not there any longer. Okay, so we've had a wide-ranging discussion about the situation, Cincinnati considering its regulations. Edgewood has established its. Florence, have you learned anything today?
I think this is a really complex issue with 3 million Airbnb listings across the globe. So looking forward to this process.
All right. I want to thank Cincinnati Councilman David Mann, Edgewood, Kentucky City Administrator Brian Daner, Florence City Coordinator Josh Weiss, Margie Waller from Over the Rhine and the Coalition for Sensible Short-Term Rental Policy, and Chris Heichel, the operator of Airbnbs, for joining us on the phone as well. Thanks to all of you for coming
in
today.
Thank
you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. You can find archives of our show online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.